one day.
A blessed and wonderful good morning to everyone. This is Because He Lives, brought to you by the kindest sponsors, Federal Motor Spears and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. Yes, we are on another wonderful discourse on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And with us this morning is another wonderful panel of Reverend Marina Taylor, Assistant Pastor at the Bank Hall Nazarene Church, and the Senior Pastor at Prerogative Nazarene Church, Reverend Anderson Jemmett. And they're going to go through with us this wonderful discourse and wrapping up, so to speak, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's been very, very fruitful, both loads of information. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day, this privilege that we can wake up, smell the roses. Lord, give us blessings, dear God, that we often take for granted, being able to move and breathe and have our being. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will minister unto us as we minister to your people, dear God. Grant us clarity of thought, dear God, as we go through your word as it relates to the word of knowledge and wisdom of revelation and the gift of healings and prophecy and all these great spiritual gifts. Grant us clarity and confirmation that you have given us these gifts for the edification of your body, so that your body will be able to function in the way it's supposed to. Thank you. Be with us. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One announcement. The Schofield and Margaret Eversley Foundation presents a musical evening with the Eversleys, featuring the Barbados Police Service Band. It's going to be on the 5th of November. Yes, the 5th of November, starting at 5 p.m. sharp. It's going to be at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene, Oxnard, St. James. Tickets, adults, $30. Children, $15. Yes, and you can get these tickets at CS Pharmacy Bridgestone, Things Gospel Warrens, and the Church of the Nazarene District Office at Eagle Hall. Please attend. It promises to be a wonderful event. Now over to Reverend Taylor and Reverend Gemma as they begin our discourse on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we wrap up this month, we have been dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, and it's been very, very interesting, hasn't it?
It has been. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Spiritual gifts are not earned, but they are given by the Holy Spirit for the benefit of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts and understanding them is the key to learning where God would have you serve his people, and where you will find real joy, happiness, and fulfillment in ministry. We should serve wherever we are given the opportunity. Working in the area of your giftings will allow you to be the person that God has called you to be, rather than just doing good things. So today, we just want to touch on a few of those gifts that we were not able to speak on the last few weeks, because there are several of those gifts in there. So today, I will do at least four or so of the gifts. Administration. So I start with that. The divine strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish this task. The administrator is detailed oriented, develops strategies to reach a goal, can bring order out of chaos. The person is action oriented, and the person can build a successful system to bring about effective ministry. And that's administration in a nutshell. I will touch the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching equips one to impart truth to others in a relevant way so that the gospel can be understood and applied to his or her life. The teacher in the church can effectively communicate the truths of Christian faith so as to make truth come alive to others. The church requires sound teaching. if it is to maintain spiritual health. Teaching is of supreme importance in the work of the church, second only to prophecy and preaching. While preaching and teaching overlaps, the general distinction is that preaching is appealing to action or applying to action, while teaching is providing instructions. Those with the motivational gift of teachings are the mind of the body. They realize their gift is foundational. Therefore, they are passionate about studying. They emphasize the accuracy of words. They want to know the facts and present only accurate information. And biblical doctrine for them is very, very important. I'll touch quickly on exhorting and encouragement. Those with the motivational gift of exhortation are the mouth of the body. Like cheerleaders, they are positive and encourage others. They are motivated by a desire to see people reach their full potential, to grow and mature spiritually. They are often drawn to the ministries of counseling, teaching, and discipline. Praise the Lord. One of the gifts that we see quite a bit in our churches is the gift of helps, and that is the divine strength or ability to work in a supportive role for the accomplishment of tasks in Christian ministry, behind the scenes service to others, sensitive to the needs of others and willing to help meet those needs. Serving is the heartbeat of their lives. Sees serving as a spiritual discipline. And then hospitality. Oh, sometimes we find we don't have enough people for that, but it's the divine strength or ability to create warm, welcoming environment for others in places such as your home, your office, or your church. The ability to create an atmosphere of warmth where people feel welcome, loved, and cared for. Help new people feel welcome. And this is my presentation for today. And I'll turn over to Reverend Jemont, who will share with us his presentation.
Good morning. The privilege is mine to be with you this morning. And I really want to give God praise and thanks. Now, as I look into the Word of God and read, there are some things that keep coming to mind, and you would ask yourself the question, where are these things not happening in our churches? We're not seeing them. And Jesus would have already spoken to the church as far as these things are concerned. He said in Mark chapter 16, reading from verse 15, to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whosoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. The words of Jesus. Miss Wigglesworth says that the discipleship has never ceased. The church are weak today because Christ the Rock is not abiding in the manifestation of the power of God. This is not because of a special gift, this power to bind and loose, but it is contingent on whether you have the rock foundation in you. In the name of Jesus, you will loose. In the name of Jesus, you will bind. And if he is in you, you ought to bring forth evidence of that power. Now, this power has been no doubt given to the church. The question is asked, why is it not being used? Why are we not seeing the tangible results of it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10, are a listing of 9 different gifts to the believer. The one that has caused so much controversy, which has been occupying our attention all month, is the gift of speaking in tongues. And while I'm not going to use up the little time I have this morning, that is allow me, trying to convert the converted, if I would use that term, let me say this. Though I am not ashamed about speaking in tongues, I speak in tongues. And I'm very proud of it. And I want to thank God for the use of this gift in my life. Amen. I'm amazed that quote-unquote intelligent people are using their time criticizing what they don't have a clue about. I've heard some person say, this is gibberish. And they smile. And people criticize it over and over. But I am still of the opinion that if I don't know about something, let me listen to other people speaking. And I really want to thank God for the benefit, you know, of this. Now, when we look through these gifts, among them are mentioned the gift of healing. And Jesus is very clear. When Jesus said that they that believe in me, in my name, they shall do these things. And here is healing. And it wasn't mentioned as a gift, only as some person believing in Jesus and laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So people seem to think that, well, I need to have that special gift. I don't consider having the special gift of healing, but I can tell you a person that had been healed under my ministry. And I'm not only talking about person that of my church. I met a man in a known supermarket some time ago, and he said, sir, you healed me of prostate cancer. I said, not me, Holy Spirit. He said, but you came to our church and you prayed for me. You healed my body. Now, sometimes I think of the word of God. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he said, go and heal. I don't claim any special privilege of healing. In the month of May, I went to greet a young lady, and she withdrew her hand. I felt taken back, but she gave me a hug. She said, I came to your church, and you prayed for me, and God healed me. I felt so humble. I didn't take it as being proud. One of the things that I've realized, I've spent 10 years on 790 Gospel, and every Monday night, people call in, and the majority of the persons that call in for prayer because they were sick. The majority of these people were church people. So the church is laden with sick people. And if this is one of the gifts that has been given, why is it not being used? Are God's people not really tapping into the resources that have been made available to us? Are we not doing what the Bible says? The time that people waste criticizing one thing, if they would have placed their mind and their thoughts on Jesus and what he said would happen to those who believe, I believe much more would be accomplished. And I'm sending out a clarion call to men of the cloth, women of the cloth. Let's take a closer look at these gifts. Because I believe that the church is poor today because these gifts are not being used in the church. They were given to be used in the church. And this is my belief, this is my understanding, that the church is poorer. Look at the ministry of the disciples. Look at the ministry of Jesus. People followed Jesus because of what they were seeing happening. Today, young people are going places because of what they are seeing happening. What is happening in your place of worship? And to all of you ministers who are hearing me this morning, what is happening in your congregation? Are people coming because they are seeing something happening? Or are they coming because they are custom coming? The time has come that things need to change. This time that we are living in, that things would turn around in your heart and my heart. The place that where we worship would again become on fire. Become on fire. But if there's no sacrifice, well, then there's going to be no fire. If there's no sacrifice on the altar, God is looking for a sacrifice on the altar if he's going to send fire. Are you willing to be that sacrifice? Are you willing to be that one that will hold on to the horns of the altar and pray and cry, Lord, give me souls? No, John not said, give me souls or I die. I believe praying high said the same thing. I'm not going to venture there again and say, give me souls or I die. But we need souls. We need to see our people delivered. We have a whole lot of sick people in church. We need to see things happening. So rather than I taking up my time trying to convert the already converted, if I again use that term, let me look at what should be happening that is not happening and how we can get it happen. How we can get it happen to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish in this day. Now, I heard a lot of tongues and how it should be done and how it should be used and how it's being used the incorrect way. But apparently the incorrect way seems to be drawing more people to God. You're hearing testimonies of healing and deliverance than those who are quote-unquote not doing it or not allowing it unless it's being done the correct way. God must be working someday. And if those who are not doing it the correct way according to man's way of thinking, etc., And they are seeing results, and they are hearing testimonies, and you're reading the testimonies of people who are being delivered and people who are being healed, and people who, when they do it in the not the correct way, as it said, they're having victories. Well, then something is wrong somewhere. Either my understanding is wrong or somebody's understanding is wrong. But I rather obey God than man. And when God's Spirit speaks to me, let me go with him. Amen. God is good. Healing, the Bible tells us, is the children's bread. And there are a whole lot of persons that we can mention, but our time is so limited. But Jesus healed the sick. The disciples healed the sick. Paul, aprons, and kerchief been laid on people, they were healed. Peter's shadow, the sick were healed. All of these things happened. There is healing for the child of God today. Things can happen in our place, but we need to see that supernatural power exhibited in our places of worship. How is it going to happen? How is it going to take place? When is it going to take place? I believe that every child has a measure of this power, but there is a fuller manifestation of the power when we get so filled with the Spirit that we speak in tongues, that we declare what God is saying. We allow God to use us to work his purpose in and through our lives. Come with an open mind. Come with a free mind and let God bless you.
Amen. That was a very powerful passage there, Reverend Jemmett. I concur with you. Obedience to God and sacrifice to God is what is needed. Holiness unto the Lord and repentance, I believe, is what is going to bring back the power of the Holy Spirit. And once we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, then we will see the full manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We'll be able to see the fruits of the Holy Spirit and be able to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in full flow, like how the church in Acts was, in Acts 2. Yes. And I'm going to go into the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy defined, just a recap. The gift of prophecy is a special ability to speak forth the message of Almighty God. A prophet is basically a spokesman for God, and he or she delivers the word of God to people by means of direct revelation. Prophetic utterances can deal with certain individuals, the church, which is Christ's body, or to a larger context. It does not also or always refer to the future. The word is used far more to proclaim the word of God rather than predict future events. There are a number of observations that we can make about this gift. One of the things mentioned about prophecy is that it is mentioned more often than the other gifts in the Bible. We find it referred to in Romans chapter 12 and verses 6, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, 29, chapter 13 from 1 to 3, chapter 8, chapter 14 verse 6, and in Ephesians 4, 11. While the New Testament does not necessarily list the spiritual gifts in order of importance, we usually find the gift of prophecy near to the top each time it is listed. And Paul also says that he would prefer persons to crave the gifting of prophecy, in that prophecy has the ability to edify the church. I'll leave that there. Going on to the distinguishing between spirits, or what you will call the spirit of discernment. Now, what does the Bible has to say about the gift of discernment? Then why the spiritual gifts that God gives the church, and it's highlighted here in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 10. The church needs people who are able to discern error, since we are called upon to test the spirits to see if they are from God, because according to 1 John 4:1, many false prophets have gone into the world. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 and verse 2 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." So it is very important, and I believe that the spirit of discernment is very, very, very important. The Apostle Paul that had that lady named Lydia, that even although she was rightly proclaiming who they were, but the Apostle Paul, being full of the power of the Holy Spirit, detected that familiar spirit. She had a familiar spirit. And the Apostle Paul was able to rebuke that spirit. So we too can have that, or some of us will have that spirit of discernment and know whether persons are operating in under the power of the Holy Spirit or not. And that's very, very, very important. I wanted to speak basically very briefly on the working of miracles. And I know that Reverend Gemma would have touched on healing as being one of the main miraculous gifts. But also within the working of miracles, we would have seen Jesus turning water into wine. We would have also seen what theologians will call the natural miracles, when Jesus was able to calm the storm. He was able to get up and rebuke the waves and calm the weather. So that's also another way of the workings of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we have the working of miracles, we have the gift of prophecy, we have the distinguishing of spirits, the gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues would have been touched on extensively this month, so we need not go through it much more. But we have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge that Paul would have given to some of us. And we realize that in our discourse, that a good set of the giftings work alongside each other. You realize that prophecy will touch on the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the word of revelation. The gift of faith goes on along with the intercession and so on. Gift of healing, gift of miracles, and basically being able to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit, and God being able to not only plant in us, but confirm within us the various gifts that we have been given. He would confirm it to us, and also persons within the body of Christ will also confirm that gifting, and we'll be able to be blessed, and other persons will be able to be blessed by the giftings that God would have placed within our hearts. Yes, Sister Marina, any other parting comments as we go into the last 3 minutes or so?
I believe we have all shared as briefly as possible the various gifts. I believe we have touched all of them, and some more extensively than others. But there are so many experiences you would have had, you know, that where you can know that there are certain areas where God is leading you, and you know that it has to be something coming from the Lord.
That's right.
And so on. And one of the things is that there are times when the Lord would zero me onto somebody to pray for.
Yes.
And when I do that, I would find meeting the person or calling them and saying, what is happening? And then they would be able to tell me certain things. And there was one I just want to share quickly. Is some time ago, I was really sleepy and wanted to go to bed. And just as I was about to go, like the sleep just went off my eyes, and the Lord laid somebody on my heart. And then he showed me a building, and I began to pray. He showed me the house and the front step and the back step. And I just prayed all night for the protection of the persons in the house, for the God to cover the house and all sorts of things. So I just prayed in the spirit, and I just prayed and I prayed and I agonized. And that's where my language came in as well. I prayed all night. I prayed through for that family. And about 6 o'clock, when I was just about to doze off, I just shake off the sleep. And then I called and I asked, is everything all right? And the person said, yes. I said, are you sure? They said, yes. I said, well, go outside and look on your veranda and see and tell me if anything strange is there. And when they went out, when they would come back in, they said, you know what? A bunch of keys was in the front door. And where the building is, there's a street light right there next to the road. Anybody could have passed and see the road.
Whoa.
The Lord allowed, you know, his angels, because I had to ask God to release his angels and what to be able to cover that house, to cover the blood. And if anybody had passed and gone there, I believe if I did not obey the Lord and prayed, that family could have been in serious trouble, because the keys to their vehicle was on the bunch. and the steps that I was seeing, the keys for both the front door and the back door was on that as well. So there are times when the Lord gives you those special abilities to see things and to discern things. So give you revelation. So that's one of the things. So I want to send out a call. If you are there and God is asking you to pray, please do not put it aside, but just heed to what God is saying to you to do.
Yes, any final comments, sir?
Amen. My final word would be, listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking. God wants to use you. Pay some attention to what he's saying. I ask him a question. I believe that God is raising up a people in this day that needs to be really on fire for him so that things could happen in your place of worship. Let's not settle for just form, you know, and make something happen. Our God is good. Our God is willing to do it, but he needs a person. He needs a sacrifice on the altar to see these things happening.
Amen. These are days when God wants to see the gifts of the Spirit active in the church today. I trust that as we have shared, it has been a blessing to you. For those out there who may not know Jesus, I pray that you would take time and acknowledge that you need Jesus in your life. And those who might be going through rough times, remember that he is your rock, he is your shield, he is your source of support. And if you trust him and put your situation in his hands, that he is going to help you. If you need further help or assistance, will you please call the Church of the Nazarene at 435-4444, and we will be grateful or happy to share with you in your time of difficulty. Father, today we bless your name, we honor you, we glorify your name. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the ministry, oh God, that you have given to us. And I pray, Father, that as believers, we all would recommit ourselves to you to be used mightily in your kingdom. And God, that we will be able to set ablaze, oh God, our churches, Father, that men and women, boys and girls would come to the kingdom because of the visibility of the gifts that has been activated in the lives of your people. So Lord, we pray that you will have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.